रामाय रामभद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय पतये नमः. चैप्टर नंबर 74. रामा एंड लक्ष्मण आर लिबरेटेड फ्रॉम द ब्रह्मास्त्र. द रेसिटेशन बिगिंस नाउ. At the sight of Rama and Lakshmana struck by the Brahmastra and utterly powerless, Sugriva, Nila, Angada, Jambavan and the other monkey heroes knew not what to do. Their troops were sunk in despair as if demented. Then Vibhishana of matchless intelligence calmed the fears of the monkey heroes with sweet words and pleasant. Fear not, our protectors are struck down senseless, yet there is no call to grieve over it. It is only out of respect and reverence to the weapon of the Lord Brahma that they seem bound by the Astra. The Rakshasa prince won the heart of Brahma by matchless and hard tapas and received in return this Astra of unimpeded force. And Rama and Lakshmana keep themselves bound by its bonds through their reverence to the grandsire. Within the space of a muhurta, they will be all right even as before. There is no call for you to be in the least anxious over this. Marathi agreed with him since he was once under the same mighty influence. He said, "Let us pass over those that have been slain among us till now and bring courage and hope to the hearts of those that yet remain alive." He took Vibhishana with him and scoured the battlefield in the darkness relieved by glowing torches. The monkeys and rakshasas shorn of tails, hands, feet, fingers, necks and other limbs were there. Others deluged with blood, others that in their abject fear wallowed in their urine odour. Yet others lay there dead of mountainous bulk and others who fell before the terrible weapons of the enemy. There was not space for one to move about. Sugriva, Angada, Nila, Sharaba, Gandhamadana, Gavaksha, Sushena, Vegadashi, Ahuka, Mainda, Nala, Jyotirmukha, Divida, Panasa and other monkey warriors of fame lay there scattered all over as if they were reft of their lives. In the short space of 2 hours were sent to their doom something like 67 crores of monkeys by that redoubted Rakshasa prince, behind whom were the boons granted him by Brahma. The vast monkey hosts, like unto the great ocean, were lashed to fury by the storms brought down upon them by the arrows of Indrajit. And in that darkness and destruction did Marathi and Vibhishana seek Jambavan. Old beyond words, riddled with arrows like unto a spent fire, that son of Brahma came under the eyes of Vibhishana, who said to him, "Alas, are you alive and free from death and danger at the hands of the keen arrows shot by the Rakshasas?" And to him did that brave warrior reply, "Lord of Rakshasas, of boundless might, know not where you are, and it is only through your voice that I made you out. I am riddled with arrows and I am not able to keep my senses together. Let it be. Is he alive and well and safe, that mighty Hanuman, born unto the Lord Vayu in that thrice fortunate lady Anjana?" And this he spake with great difficulty, unable to bring himself to it. And to him replied the Rakshasa, "Sir, wonder, no inquiry or care about Rama or Lakshmana or of his majesty King Sugriva or Prince Angada, whether they are alive or dead. Why so much attached and devoted to the son of Vayu?" Then said Jambavan, "O brave Rakshasa, it is absolutely necessary that you should have news of Marathi. If he were alive, we may take it that our armies are automatically alive, even though they are completely destroyed. If he were not alive, we are dead, every one of us, even though we are alive to all purposes. We can hope to live somewhat if he, the equal to the Lord of Air in strength and fierce of prowess like unto the Lord of Fire, is free from danger." Then Hanuman touched the feet of Jambavan, reverently bowed himself before him and gave out his name and the antecedents. Jambavan thought of the tones of Marathi, and though he himself sore confused in mind and senses, he rejoiced greatly as if his vital breaths had come back to him. best and bravest of monkeys, come to me. It is up to you now to extend your protection over our dispirited forces. I see none here that is endowed with the requisite valor and courage, therefore. You alone have it in you to render the greatest help to these. This is the time when you should put forth your strength and valor with the utmost. I see no other that could do it as well. Put away from Rama and Lakshmana the danger that has befallen them through the arrows of Indrajit, and bring back joy and hope to the monkey hosts. Take your course straight from here above the ocean through the sky. Go far till you come to the Himalayas, the monarch of the mountains. Beyond that you find the mountain Rishaba with lofty peaks of gold, and far beyond that the tops of mountain Kailasa. Between these two, there is the mountain of magic herbs of plants. It is the home of potent medicinal products and blazes in radiance, thereby even like unto the Lord of Fire. On the top of it, there can be found the Mritsanjeevani, Vishalyakarani, Sandhakarani, Swarnakarani, four medicines of boundless potency irradiating all the quarters with their luster. Bring them to me and I restore the life to the monkeys that have lost them. Mritsanjeevani revives the dead. Vishalyakarani then expels the arrows from the body and makes it neat. Sandhakarani makes the body whole from the broken parts and the cloven. And Swarnakarani finishes the work by restoring the natural color and aspect of the body to the places wounded and scarred. At these words of Jambavan, the son of Vayu waxed in strength and energy and courage, even as the ocean when the roaring waters of the rivers fall into it from all lands. He stood on top of the Mount Trikuta, pressed it with his feet to give him the impetus and force to course through the sky, and it gave him the look of one mountain placed on another. The mount could hardly bear the impact of his feet. It clove and sank into the earth. Its tops were shattered by his force and huge blocks rolled down from it, lapped in tongues of flames. Lofty trees crashed down its sides. Blocks were ground to dust, and the monkeys could scarcely keep their stand on it as it shook and trembled mightily. Towers and turrets in Lanka and the houses near them fell in ruins. The huge fortress gates shook in affright. The whole extent of the capital seemed trembling in terror all through that night. With mountainous bulk did he spring from Trikuta mountain, and the earth and the seas were troubled sore. Then he went up the mountain that bordered the capital of Ravana. It was lofty like unto the mountains Meru and Mandara. It was beautiful to look at with its waterfalls, woods, creepers, lotus pools, caves and beasts. It was the home of countless gods, Gandharvas, Vidyadharas, Rishis and Apsaras who lead a happy life there. 60 yojanas was it in height, and the dwellers thereon were struck with dread as they beheld his mighty form and fiery energy. He grew and grew apace. And he opened his mouth wide like unto the horse Bhadava in the boundless waters. He roared lustily so that the Rakshasas in the city dared not come out of their houses till he came back. All creatures in Lanka were filled with wonder and rendered motionless with fear. Then Marathi bowed himself in reverence and thought before Sri Rama and prayed to him that he should come back with his purpose accomplished and did a deed of valor wonderful to behold as a piece of humble service to his master. He waved aloft his mighty tail like unto the huge serpent of the mountains. He laid back his ears. He opened his mouth like unto the mare Bhadava in the sea, and he sprang into the sky with a fearful speed. He carried with him in his frightful speed groves, glades, blocks, and the very monkeys on that mountain. They were sorely beset by the speed of his hands and legs, followed him a long way, and then fell headlong into the waves as his speed lessened. He stretched his arms before him like unto huge serpents. Lord Garuda shared with him in prowess. He seemed to drag in his wake the very quarters themselves, so fierce was the speed of his course. And thus he took his way to Mount Meru, the loftiest of the group. He beheld on his way the fathomless deep, surging with mountainous waves and the monsters of the deep discoursing themselves therein. He sped along like the chakra shot from the hands of Mahavishnu. Mountain peaks, lakes, rivers, tanks, cities, countries, forests passed under him in rapid survey. As he proceeded lightly and without the least fatigue, though keeping up a uniform speed like unto his father, the Lord of Air. The quarters were filled with the roar of his flight. He kept in mind the words of Jambavan and lessened his speed gradually that he may not pass beyond the magic mountain of herbs. In a short time, the Himalayas came into view. Cataracts, waterfalls, torrents, caves and peaks, fleecy white like cloud banks, woods of varied form and hue adorned it bravely. He beheld its peaks and sides dotted with holy resorts and the rishis of the heaven world that dwelt therein. The abodes of the four-faced Brahma, Mount Kailasa, the abode of Indra, the place where Rudra shoots his arrows in sport, the place where Lord Hayagriva is adored, the place where fell the head of Brahma cut by Rudra himself, the resting places appointed for the benefit of the Brahmanis that attend upon the sun every month of the year. The spot where Indra got his Vajra from Brahma, the abode of Kubera radiant like the sun itself, the place where Vishwakarma tied the sun on his lathe to hew or shear off a portion of his rays to please the lady Chaya, the place appointed for the gods to offer worship to Brahma and have a sight of him, the place where the bow of Shiva is kept, the way that leads to the underworlds, the huge slab Himavat Shaila near Mount Kailasa, the mountain Rishabha covered with magical herbs, the Mount Meru itself in the eastern quarter. All these he beheld on his way, and along with them the mountain of magical herbs that shines at night with blinding radiance. Filled with wonder, he went over it and searched for the plants and herbs he wanted. Thousands of yojanas has he covered in his flight. He went from end to end over the mountains of magical herbs. He roared in his anger of not being able to come upon them. For they hid themselves from view when they found there was one who would take them away from the place. Maruti could not put up with that indignity. Fire flashed from his eyes and he cried to the Lord of the mountain, "You there! You show no love or pity to Lord Rama and you think it is proper and right to bar my way to the object I have in view. This moment I will reduce you to dust, formless and thin with my bare arms." He took hold of that lofty mountain and tore it up by the very roots, along with the groves, beasts, ores, peaks and tops and the devas, gandharvas, siddhas, charanas and the other dwellers thereof. He passed his tail round its middle and tore it aloft, and the gods and asuras and all the created beings were trembling with affright, and the hosts that crowd the heaven world applauded him high. Did he return with the speed of thought like unto Lord Garuda himself? Maruti, shining in his radiance even as a lord of day, bore aloft in the path of the sun that potent mountain, shining with the luster of Surya himself. Then he looked like a rival sun facing the original one, like unto the chakra in the hands of Mahavishnu with his thousand points lapped in fierce flames. Did Anjaneya shine with a huge mountain of magic herbs borne aloft. The monkeys shouted themselves in joy when they beheld him, and he in his turn for very success when he came near them. The monkeys that were dead came back to life thanks to the potency of the very smell of the herbs thereon. The inhabitants of Lanka howled and cried in terror when they beheld the monkeys roar. Then Anjaneya came down upon Mount Rakuta with the mountain of magic herbs held aloft. The monkey heroes bent their heads low in reverence. Maruti clasped Vibhishana to his breast fondly. Rama and Lakshmana caught the perfume of the magic herbs thereon. The arrows of the weapons that pierced them fell out loosely, and they stood up free from all pain and discomfort. Those that were dead and those that were wounded were cured of their wounds and rose like strong men after a deep sleep. In fact, their strength and valor and courage were increased immeasurably. from the time that the monkeys and the rakshasas began to fight at Lanka, the dead among the rakshasas were thrown into the sea by the orders of Ravana. He wanted the list of the dead to be brought to him, and he desired that none should know about it. This accounts for the fact that among those brought back to life by the magical herbs, the rakshasas found no place. Then the son of Bayu carried back the mountain of herbs to his original place and returned to the side of Rama. Mangalam Kushlin Raya Mahaniya Gunapti Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhomaya Mangalam.